than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, Josh and I are here. We're going to talk a little bit about that Ravens-Dolphins game and a little behind the curtain, guys. It's like Groundhog Day. You just have to keep reliving this game. This is now our third time attempting to record this show. Hopefully everything works now and Zoom's happy and the internet doesn't go out or something like that that we've had already, but Josh and I are now, for a third time, going to talk about that atrocious Dolphins-Ravens game that we had to watch last Thursday night. So, Josh, how's it going, man? What you doing? You feeling all right?
Bro, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling okay. A little bit frustrated with this thing, man, because just when you think you had high hopes for this team, dude, they crashed and burned hard, dude. And I don't know. It's kind of like I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, this entire season, this team has given us a full hour, if not more, with overtime in each game to enjoy. It's been an up and down roller coaster every single Sunday, but this one was definitely a down. This was a Thursday night game in Miami. This game felt out of hand the entire time. I mean, it felt like the Ravens didn't have a grasp on this at all. They feel like they were undercoached, unprepared. It just, nothing went the Ravens' way, and they got outcoached and outplayed this game.
They did. On all facets of the game, you can definitely see which team was prepared, regardless of wins or losses, Brandon. The two-win team versus the six-win team, it doesn't matter. The Dolphins certainly were well prepared for the Ravens had to bring, and they certainly studied the film. They knew what the Ravens were going to do. They knew their tendencies. They just knew. And it's almost like, what can you do at that point? And what was really frustrating with this game in its entirety is the Ravens didn't do anything to adjust. I get it, right? There was constant pressure, 24 blitzes. Lamar's blitzed 24 times. That's insane. You know, they were showing cover zero pretty much the whole game, but you have to adjust, call plays to counter that. Every time I see Lamar drop back when they were third down and blitzing, it just became a kind of the definition of insanity. Like, you're calling the plays, trying to let the guys develop, like the play develop down the field, the receivers to go downfield. It just wasn't working. And that's what's really frustrating of it all. You're seeing the whole game plan, whatever the game plan, it never got even installed, let alone brought with them to Miami, because I don't know if they looked at the film with Miami and knew what they might have done, what could have done, but no adjustments whatsoever, lack of execution. The team looked lost, dazed, confused on all facets, and it was a frustrating to no end.
Yeah, and there was a reporter, do you remember at the beginning of the season, that was talking about, oh, like, we figured Lamar out. We know what to do with this guy now. He's not so mysterious anymore. I feel like the Dolphins, they really did do that. I feel like they really did figure Lamar out. They made him completely uncomfortable. They were able to get to him as much as possible, so they were forcing him to throw. He wasn't being accurate. And then when he tried to run, they just shut down the middle of the field. There was nowhere for him to go. There was nowhere for his running backs to go. They figured this guy out. They really did. So the Dolphins really gave a blueprint to any team moving forward on how to beat the Ravens. And the Ravens definitely showed that, yeah, we're pretty beatable.
Absolutely. They're very beatable. And, you know, is it a concern, cause of concern going forward? Because, you know, we literally talked about this, like, they took care of business against the Vikings. I'm like, you know, I kind of feel embarrassed now. I'm like, oh, we have two cupcakes, Dolphins and the Bears. We could be 8-2.
Right.
They could lose the next two in a row. I mean, it's what I'm saying. Like, now I'm like, okay. maybe the Dolphins heard me and says, okay, you want to not take it seriously? Let's take it to them. I mean, but come on, granted, you know, the Ravens were heavily favored in this game, but every team has had this trip up. Like, you know, the Ravens got theirs. Okay. They finally got theirs. Cause I literally said, the Ravens are a top team in the AFC right now. I don't care what, regardless what the Titans are doing or whatnot or records wise, because the Titans lost an inferior team. The Titans lost to the Jets. The Bengals lost to the Jets. The Bills lost to the Jaguars. The Chiefs started bad. They've got a 3-game winning streak, but we know they haven't been all together this year. So in retrospect, you know, they got theirs now. So, okay. I mean, granted, a week ago, the Bills lost a 6-9 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jacksonville Jaguars were a 1-win team at that point. So right now, I feel like anyone's beatable in the NFL. You got to go out and study your opponent, execute. The Ravens just didn't do that, man. It's just embarrassing all around. I don't know if you saw this stat, and I'm going to pull this up. This was surprising to me. I got to find this. So the Ravens face a lot of pressures and blitzes, as we know. Do you have a realization that the Ravens throughout the game, it says Miami showed, I took some notes, Miami showed cover zero, went cover zero coverage on the defense pre-snap 40 times against the Ravens. And 24 of those times, I don't know if it was 24 with the cover zero coverages, but we know Lamar and the Ravens experienced a blitz 24 times that night. Lamar was running for his life 24 times. Dude, it felt like every other play was sacked. He couldn't get rhythm. Lamar's a rhythm quarterback. Any system, you know, Lamar, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, any quarterback is a system. I mean, look what the I think Patriots, because Tom Brady, go back to Super Bowl. You know, the great defensive scheme that Tampa Bay did against Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had his worst game of his career. Like, couldn't get anything going. That kind of reminded me of the blueprint. Lamar looked like a rookie, couldn't get it in the game. It was from the top down. Coaches couldn't call the right plays to execute against a blitz. You know, Harbaugh had that dazed, confused, and he looked like he was angry. And it just seemed like the team at halftime didn't make adjustments. I really know what – I want to know what was said in the locker room at halftime. I wish we can find out, because it was a sad tale, man. It reminded you of the Detroit game all over again, right? You know, making a field goal, missed field goal, letting the team hang around. Couldn't get things going, but even in that game, the Ravens had a double-digit lead and squandered that. It just wasn't their night. It was just flat-out embarrassing on a primetime game to do it against an inferior opponent like that. When the whole game, Brandon, I said, this team is too talented, too good to be playing like this to that kind of opponent. I don't even care if they were playing the Chiefs, you know, last Thursday night. You know, you got to execute better. You got to do good. And my dad, you know, bless his heart, alluded to the game in the game. He loves saying this. You know, you can't just show up, throw your hat on the field, and expect to win a game. That's what the Ravens essentially did. They thought that we could assume things, but you know what I think in breaking this down, I really think they took their opponent lightly and they didn't do the research. And the Dolphins definitely should film. And you can see which it's kind of like in school, right? It's like, you know, who studied, who didn't, who did well in the test, and who didn't, because you can definitely see who took everything seriously and who actually watched tendencies of film versus the Ravens all walkthroughs and practice. And I just felt like the Ravens certainly didn't handle business the way they should have. Absolutely.
No, they didn't. I mean, again, they were outcoached. They were outplayed every single aspect of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. And that, you know, special teams is John Harbaugh's bread and butter. This team looked lost out there. They were trying things they had tried in the past. They didn't make any sort of changes or anything like that. We know the secondary is beat up. We know that Marlon Humphrey is the only guy really doing his job on defense. And the Dolphins realized that. I mean, the Dolphins had two injured quarterbacks on the field. Both of them. Not 100%. And we made them look like Tom Brady out there on the field. The Ravens just they gave up before they even got there. I don't know if it was the humidity or because it was a shortened week, but every team has to go through a shortened week in the season, and every team has to play in the elements, whether it be cold or warm or humid or whatever. So it's kind of ridiculous to kind of give the Ravens that excuse. Now, can they have a bad week? Sure. I mean, absolutely. But I feel as if there should be some sort of fight. And I got to give it to Lamar. He looked like he was really upset on the sidelines. He looked like he was trying to get everybody rallied up. It looks like he was yelling. You definitely saw a fire that you didn't really see a lot from like former quarterbacks like Joe Flacco. He looked like he wanted to win this game, but everything he tried didn't work. There were no secret moves that he could pull out of a hat, nothing like that. Lamar, he got caught up and they knew what to do with him. And he had no support system. That offensive line is non-existent. And
no, absolutely.
When he was accurate to his wide receivers, they were dropping the ball. I mean, how many of these balls were dropped throughout the entire game? And then that one throw to the end zone to Sammy Watkins, who kind of lost the ball on the lights. Yep. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors the entire night.
It was, and they can never get out of that hole. They dug the hole so deep. It was just like, you know, you kind of had a glimmer of hope, right? You know, you're watching the game, and I was watching a friend of mine, and I'm like, we're sticking there, we're watching the game, watching the score, and it was 15-3, right? And we're like, all right, hey, they could get two touchdowns, win 17-15, all's right the world, right? And then obviously they put the drive together, they scored the touchdown, and immediately you're like, where was that the whole game? They finally sustained a drive and scored 6 points. So you're like, great, right? Pulled it within five, and you had to feel good. And you're like, now you're like, okay. At this point, you're like, okay, touchdown wins the game. They're within a score, get a stop, get the ball back, do it again. We go home victors, and we got another comeback win, right? Another one for the books. And then what did we talk about? Their weaknesses, right? The very next drive, they led up another big play. That was two of them on the night that led to the scoring drives. They led a receiver, can't remember his name, wide open on the left side, and it was a breakdown of covers, miscommunication, left you very, very frustrated and deflated, defeated, because that was the Ravens' chance, man. And you know what's very, very unfortunate with all this? Even though we understand that the Dolphins scored 22 points, this, I feel like I'm going to watch this because I know the defense had some big plays and all that, but the big plays continue to be the Achilles heel of this defense. But I still felt like the defense played solid. And you might be like, solid? They left 22 points to big plays. But I'm like, you take away those two big plays, they kept them in check. They constantly put Tua and Brissett under pressure. They had some stops when he needed to. There were some big, huge third down stops. But if you look on the offensive side, the Ravens at one point for 0-3 on third down conversions, they did not sustain drives. The Dolphins did a really good job of, and it was always frustrating, right? You saw it in the game. It was always third and long, you know?
Right.
There was a couple of times where they set themselves up at third and short, but couldn't execute, but it was, you know, let's say first, because they're trailing, right? So let's say first down, incomplete pass. Second down, they try to get cute and run the ball, and then it's a snuff for like a 1 or 2 yard gain. Now it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9. Now you know they're passing it, and then they're bringing a zero blitz, and Lamar couldn't get the playoffs. So it was like that's kind of what you've seen if every other possession the Ravens had, or every possession. It was first down didn't work, second down was a dud run, or first down was a dud run, the second down was a incomplete play or a play that didn't work, and they could not sustain the drives. And then you look at, and especially like just what happened this past Monday night, the Niners, the 3-win team, played a 7-win team in the Rams, divisional opponent, and they beat them. And they beat them soundly. And you know what I saw in that game? A mirror blueprint of the Ravens-Chargers game. If you really watched that Monday night game this past night, the Niners forced turnovers. It was ball control. He kept the better team off the field for the better part. The Niners had two scoring drives, and one was like 9 minutes or 8 minutes, and one was 10 minutes. I looked at my dad, I'm like, they had the ball for 18 minutes on two scoring drives. Like, that's insane. But the Ravens, it was like, they're scoring, their drives were lasting like 30 seconds to a minute, 2 minutes, and they were getting three and out, sputtering. They could not get any traction. And offensively, they dug themselves a hole. Credit to the Dolphins, but they just couldn't get anything going. And then the defense, they held them in check for so long. And then, oh, the big play happened. And you've seen it. The O-line couldn't handle the blitz, and the defense had big plays, miscommunication. So all around, it was just a losing effort, and it was embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should give a little bit more credit to the defense because they did, like you said, they did keep the Dolphins in check, but the Dolphins' offense is not good. I mean, the defense was doing their job exactly as they should be doing, and then the offense couldn't get things done. We do have to give, I guess, props to Justin Houston, the probably the only bright spot of this game is that he was able to record his 100th career sack, so congratulations to him. He was able to do that, even though he injured the quarterback for the Dolphins, and that's what brought Tua in. But Justin Houston still making records, so that's a good thing. He was doing his job, but I mean, man, this is just. It worries me going forward for two reasons, because number one, we said they had to win the next two games against the Dolphins and the Bears because December was so tough that it would kind of give them a little bit of breathing room. If they were to drop one in December, they've kind of, because they lost this one, it's almost like it's must win to get in right now. Like they have to win the rest of the games going forward. I know that's kind of crazy to say because we're at what, week 9 or 10 at this point. That was week 10. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy to say like, all right, because of this loss, you might not make the playoffs, but this definitely showed a blueprint on how to limit Lamar, how to exploit the beat up offense, and how to exploit the secondary, because we saw what the Colts did with the secondary. Dolphins did the same thing, and it's working. So I'm really worried moving forward that people are going to watch this game tape and be like, all right, this is how we take Lamar down. This is it. This is what we do, because it worked.
And I think that's what everybody's scared about, right? Or concerned. I'm going to say scared, concerned. It's that whole, oh, somebody figured somebody out, right? And I think everybody always waits for that to happen. The superstars in the NFL, it's like, oh, wait till they get figured out. Wait till they get a defensive scheme and snuff them out. And I don't understand why, you know, because you know what makes great players great? They rise above that. You know, right. Brady's been playing for 20 years. How much game film is on Tom Brady? Has anybody figured him out? He's 44 years old, and they're defending Super Bowl champions. 44 years old quarterback.
Did Washington figure him out, you think?
Right. And see, and that's the point. Like, that was the third loss or second in a row. And he's always played the Saints terrible since he came to the NFC. But it's like, that's the point, right, Brent? It's, you know, to me, that's a weak take and a weak argument. Oh, he got figured out. Well, it's what I'm saying. Let's see. Lamar's only so young. It's his fourth year in the NFL, his third full season playing under center, because 2018 he played a half year. Let's see what happens in 10 years and see if he's still figured out. Like, you're taking one game, like, you know, look under Joe Flacco's tenure in the Ravens. He's had some bad losses here too. Does that mean Joe Flacco got figured out? He's a Super Bowl champion. But don't, I mean, relax. Like, you know, Mahomes is playing bad. They've got a three-game winning streak, but they started sub-500. They were in last place a month ago. Now they're in first. But does that mean Mahomes got figured out because he had a bad game in Super Bowl? I mean, everybody alludes to his offensive line play, but that's besides the point. You know, that's it right there. You know, the Lamar being figured out has nothing to do with the Dolphins bringing your play. That's what the game plan called for. And if that's the recipe to beat the Ravens, then the Ravens have to counter that. I mean, you know, I just feel like in sports and anything, you know, hockey, football, baseball, boxing, MMA, anything you do, if you think your opponents figured you out, you change it up or you change the way you play or go, you know what, let's give them something new to defend. You know, you take Floyd Mayweather. I guarantee Floyd Mayweather as a boxer. I mean, he fought 50 times, 50-0. He's never gotten beaten. Right. But I can't remember how early his career was. I didn't watch him early in his career. I think I watched him when he was around maybe 30, you know, I don't know. I have to go back and look at the years in his record, but I would be hard pressed to understand it. From fight one to win one to win 50, that Floyd Mayweather was, he had the same scheme the whole way through every boxer. There's called scouting reports. You fight each boxer, you know, each opponent has different tendencies. So you can't, what I've always been frustrated with the Ravens is I feel like they install their game plan and they just think it works no matter what opponent. And I think that's what the problem is.
Right.
You can't play the same way you did against Minnesota Vikings. I don't care if it was 4 days or if they had 2 week bye week to prepare for the Dolphins. You can't play the same way you just did on Sunday against the Vikings, against the Dolphins. It's a different team, different scheme, different night, different personnel. It's different. You just can't do that. And I just feel like I sat here and called two or three of their offensive plays before the snap, and it was the exact play. I looked at my dad, and I'm like, really? Like, if I can call their plays, why do you think the Dolphins are so good at executing right now? I'm like, and what frustrated me, I remember the screen pass that they threw against the Vikings on 3rd and 15 to Marquise Brown, ended up being an 18-yard gain.
Right.
That works every once in a while, called correctly against a correct defensive call on the other side. Like, okay, you guess right. Like, okay, they're going to go here and they're going to blitz here. I'm going to throw the screen pass there and it's going to be first down. They ran that play. And just like that, the Dolphins were ready for it. And I'm like, that's not going to work. And they were running it on like some odd oddball situations in the game. I'm like, that's not going to keep them off for twos. What? And you hear about it all the time. Back when, you know, I mean, Bill Belichick's still coaching and he's got his Patriots in a prime position to look out for them this year in the AFC. And that's another story. But how many times you always heard that, you know, playing against Bill Belichick, Tom Brady in that tenure, it was a chess match. He plays checks when everybody else plays checkers. Football. And I heard it too, I heard the great one, Bill Belichick, allude to it. Football is a chess game. It's chess. It's that's why it makes Peyton Manning so great. You prepare for different opponents. You look at their tendencies and you exploit them. And that's what the Dolphins did correctly. And I just felt like the Ravens thought they can just show up and, oh, we can just hand the ball off to our running backs. Lamar can do his thing. And we're going to run the same exact suite of plays that we did against the Minnesota Vikings. And we're going to win this football game by 20 points. That's not going to happen. Reality check. They got their butts handed to them. They got punched in the mouth. And they better wake up or the Bears are going to do the same thing. That's it right there.
And let's jump right into it. Let's start talking about this Ravens-Bears game. Obviously, I think we're both a little worried about what is going to happen in this game because the Bears have some great defense players, and they can get to Lamar as quickly as the Dolphins, if not quicker. They love to sack the quarterback. They're really good at it. So how do the Ravens prepare for this, prepare for the Bears' defense moving forward? Because it's going to be a rough one. It is not going to be easy for this offense to get plays done. While the Bears aren't the greatest team in the world, they still are a major threat to the offense.
You ready for it?
Let's do it.
This is going to be earth-shattering.
Here we go.
Watch the film on the Bears and prepare for the Chicago Bears. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, I don't know what goes into film study. I would really love to just be a fly on the wall or just observe a week in the life of an NFL prepare, like what goes into preparation for an NFL team, like opponent, like film study, what the meetings are like. I would love to know. Short week, long week, I don't care, because they better not do the same thing I just called them out on, is don't go in the field installing what you've always done and think is going to work. The Chicago Bears almost beat the Steelers. Remember that. Almost beat them. They didn't win, but they almost beat them. And they were losing mightily handily throughout the whole game two Monday nights ago. They had the lead right then in the game. Of course, as it always happens in Steelers folklore, you give Big Ben too much time and they win the game. That's always how it happens. But they had to lead 27-26 late. So Justin Fields is a bona fide rookie. He has his moments, you know, has his bright spots. You know, he had a Lamar-like scamper earlier this season. It was awesome for a touchdown. The offensive side of the ball has been very inept for the Chicago Bears too as well this year. I have shares of Allen Robinson in fantasy, and he's just had a bad, dismal year with the quarterback carousel, with Andy Dalton starting. Now it's Justin Fields' turn, and the running game, but they're banged up running backs. Tre Cohen's been on the PUP list. They just finally got David Montgomery back. I know Khalil Herbert was running the ball solidly over the last few weeks for them, but you know, defensively, you better watch out because they still got Khalil Mack on that side of the ball.
If we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. Is there any news that he's going to be coming back?
Interestingly so. If he ends up being out, that's a huge win for the Ravens in that category because he's the heart and soul and a heartbeat of that defense. As we know, solidly could easily be a future Hall of Famer for the Bears, obviously. So just the way they run that defense, you got to prepare for it, and you got to prepare for a heavyweight fight. I don't think this game's going to be close. I think this game's going to be close in the realm of scoring. I think, you know, both teams right now, especially how the Ravens are coming off that performance and how the Bears with the way their personnel runs and with the way their season's been going, this one could easily be a coin flip. I hate to say it, but right now it could be a coin flip.
And looking at the injury report for Wednesday for the Ravens, Bradley Bozeman and Lamar Jackson both did not practice due to illness. Marquise Brown, he did not participate for a thigh injury. Justin Houston had the day off. Jimmy Smith had an issue. He did not participate. Brandon Williams, who has missed the last two games, he did not participate with a shoulder injury. Tavon Young did not participate with a foot injury. And Patrick McCary and Latavius Murray, they were both limited in practice. But after reading out those names, did you realize that there is one name missing from that injury report, and that is Nick Boyle.
Yes, finally. Finally.
Nick Boyle, it seems like he was a full participant, and from what I'm understanding, it might be that we may see him in Chicago on Sunday. So what does that mean to get a guy like Nick Boyle back on the field?
No, it's it's huge. I'm sorry it didn't happen sooner. I think they wanted to wait. They wanted to go in the short week, and they wanted to wait one more week. But it's huge. First off, he's one of the best run. He's the best block. I wouldn't say run blocking. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. Definitely need him on there to bolster that number. Not only that, but number two adds another repertoire for the passing game. Pass catching tight end as well. Huge. Especially with the way this own line's been playing, that could definitely do some good there with not only countering the blitzes and covering that, but obviously giving Amar a little bit more time to let those plays develop. Definitely, I'm very excited to see him back, and that's one that we definitely needed coming back at this point in the season.
Yeah, we know that Lamar's favorites are Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown, and this just gives him another weapon to target and another.
Absolutely.
And like those guys had trouble catching the ball last week. Hopefully Nick Boyle, he is well rested. He's ready to get out there. Let's see him catch a ball, or let's see him making some blocks so Lamar can run a little bit too.
Absolutely. That's what we want to see for Boyle and Boyle. You asked about Khalil Mack. He's missed the last two games before their week 10 bye. Apparently, he did not partake in practice for the Bears. He's still dealing with a foot injury. And head coach Matt Nagy said earlier this week that he hopes to have Mack able to turn on the field this week. And not only that, but him and Allen Robinson have out of practice for the Bears. So there's two stars for the Bears to watch out for this week. That would be huge on both offensive and defensive fronts for the Ravens to have those stars out. Again, never want to see anybody hurt, never want to wish for injuries. But, hey, if these guys can't go, the leg up for the Ravens in that category, and we'll take it as we can get it. You know, we'll see how it shakes out for the Ravens, but traveling the Soldier Field mid to late November, it's going to be tough, man. Especially coming off the hinges of we get that mini bye week to get preparedness and ready and healed up, and we got some players back, but who's not making the trip, and right now has gotten released. Le'Veon Bell has been a surprise, not really a surprise release. I think surprised many that it was just like people were texting me like, oh, Le'Veon Bell got released. And you're one of them too. And I'm like, not surprised. Just based on his performance, he wasn't getting it done.
Right.
And it's funny to me because immediately Tyson Williams' name was brought up saying, okay, now this is a shot for Tyson Williams. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. Did you hear about Harbaugh's comments about Tyson Williams?
No, I didn't hear that. What did he say?
Very, very telling what Tyson Williams. And this is probably why we haven't seen him. Just like Le'Veon Bell wasn't contributing, there hasn't been anything said like this about Le'Veon Bell, but we can understand why he was released, right? This is Harbaugh. Head coach Harbaugh provided some insight on the running back situation heading into week 11 game against Chicago Bears. Quote, every player just has to contribute and perform and produce when they're out there, and that goes for any player, Harbaugh said. So if you're a running back, you need to run hard. You need to break tackles. You need to get yards. You need to pass protect. You need to run the right route out of the backfield, catch the ball, and get up the field. So he was actually calling Williams out pretty much because it was basically suggesting what basically Tyson Williams needs to do to get back on the field and get in good graces with the offense. So he alluded to that, and it said, and he went on to say further, if you're in the rotation, special teams sure would help you. So you can take that for what it is, doghouse or not, but hey, there's a reason why Tyson Williams is on the field healthy and young as he is, and Le'Veon Bell got released. It's just the Ravens are just really struggling running back, as we know. Losing Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill doesn't do you any good, and then replacing them with what they need to. Now, granted, Latavius Murray is returning. With the release of Bell, you have to hope that Latavius Murray is seen on the practice field and returning. That is the goal and the anticipation that he either starts or plays in some capacity Sunday. We shall see. But Devonta Freeman, it's probably right now it's his job under the running back starting at this point. But Ravens got some work to do, given their offensive schemes. See what happens with Latavius Murray's situation coming back in.
Yeah, the running back situation, that is not a good one for the Ravens. And it hasn't been this entire year. I mean, it's been crazy. Everything that's happened with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards going down, and to see Tyson Williams, that's a real shame because he's a guy that really has a a chance in front of him? Do you think he would be a starting running back anywhere else right now if it wasn't for all the injuries going on? And if he's not putting in that full effort, then, you know, he doesn't deserve that jersey. So it's ridiculous that he's getting the shot and kind of throwing it away that way. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, I was never a huge fan of him coming in. I just didn't like his attitude. But from what I understand, he's been pretty well received with the locker room. He's getting along with most people, I believe. I mean, look at how excited Lamar was when Le'Veon Bell got that touchdown and was doing the shadow boxing. Lamar was doing it right there with him. So it's maybe he comes back on in a practice squad capacity in some way. I don't know. But obviously the Ravens aren't happy with their running back situation, and they're doing what little they can do to try to improve it 10 weeks into the season. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell released, he seemed gracious, you know, in his tweet to the team and the city and everything. So, I mean, maybe he is a different guy than he was a couple years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I know you said he enjoyed his time here and thankful for the opportunity, and it was good to see him, you know, in the Ravens uniform. Unfortunately, it's not the Le'Veon Bell we all were used to in dominating the running game as he did for the Steelers and giving us fits for all those years, but, you know, shell of himself. But I'm glad he gave, you know, the Ravens gave him an opportunity to contribute, you know, given the fact that he went on the team. And, you know, Harbaugh did allude to that obviously he's out there. It could be claimed by another team or could possibly be brought back to the Ravens in some capacity. But as if the Ravens felt like it was like with the whole Dez situation a few years ago when Dez was brought in for workout, the Ravens felt like at that time that he wasn't ready. And then he finally got his chance last year, contributed, obviously scored a touchdown or two. And then, you know, obviously was released at the end of the year. But it's just I know he scored a couple touchdowns for us, got in the end zone there and you know, did his thing and helped us out. But the Chargers game was kind of like, you know, the end all be all. Like it was like the Chargers and Vikings game, I felt were his best two games a little bit. And obviously he got in the end zone there, but we'll see how it shakes out. But we wish him the best. But again, it was cool to see him in the Ravens uniform for a couple games.
Yeah. Now looking at, like you said, Justin Fields, he's pretty much a rookie QB at this. I mean, he is a rookie QB. What's it going to mean if Brandon Williams, who has missed the last two games, still isn't practicing? If he sits out yet another game, that's got to kill our defense a little bit and gives Justin Fields a little extra time to get the ball out and is able to throw. I kind of feel like we're missing that big body to kind of get to the quarterback. Yes, we have guys like Justin Houston and Calais Campbell, both that are doing really well on defense, but having Brandon Williams there be that other big body to kind of make Justin Fields uncomfortable, that's going to be a big loss.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a huge loss. And, you know, I'm curious to see how that's going to be impactful going down the line. I mean, you know, what do you think in regards to, you know, how that might shake out for us?
I think if you do have Calais Campbell, Justin Houston there, we should be all right. But Brandon Williams in the long run, this guy is injured a lot. I mean, he missed how many games last year? He's on his
potential. I kind of responded to some of our listeners on that. I said Brandon Williams is often injured. You know, on the call Facebook page, we had some interactions, and I kind of alluded to it. That's why I want to hear what you thought, because, you know, that's my thing. It's he's good when he's been out there and solid for us the whole time, but – you know, and that I guess Brandon, that can go for any play, right? Sure. So if they're injured, they can't really contribute and they're only good as, you know, their healthy self. But at some point, it's like you have to look at maybe moving forward is kind of where I was going with that. It's like maybe like, all right, now you're too often injured. You know, we got to move on and get somebody better in shape and healthier to contribute. And, you know, we understand it's a business, it's a money thing. You know, who knows with his tenure and under contract, that's another story. But I'd like to see him out there. He's one of, you know, he's been always a fan favorite, you know, and he can certainly, you know, he's certainly solid force and dominant when he's out there. But just like with the Ronnie Stanley situation, you know, Ronnie Stanley, that's 2 out of 3 years. He's been hurt. He got to make a contract. What do you do there as well? So there's a lot of key star players that are oft injured that the Ravens had to make decisions on.
Well, looking at this, Brandon Williams, he is in the last year of his 5-year contract extension that he signed in 2017. So the fact that he's missing 3 games this season and that he hasn't really been playing that well the last couple years, I have to assume his time in Baltimore at the end of this season, that's probably it for him.
Absolutely. It could be the writing on the wall there with definitely being in the last year of his contract. Absolutely.
Yeah, and another defenseman that we were talking about pre-show is Derek Wolfe, who it's now confirmed he won't be playing at all this year, and he barely played last year. It's just this injury bug that the Ravens have. It just it seems like it never goes away every single year. I don't think any other team has so many people on injury reserve, and for injuries that are so serious that they're out for the entire year. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, Derek Wolfe, they're just those two. I don't even know what to say. I don't know if it's the changes to the game and how it's played or the equipment or whatever, but I mean, this is going to be like 18 players now on injury reserve for the Ravens. Derek Wolfe not even playing one snap this year.
Absolutely. Not one snap. And you've always called it, like, when is this guy going to get out there? So another one, they got to move on
last year. I mean, we're kind of talking about end of the year stuff right now, but I mean, we're kind of seeing what this team is made of 10 weeks in. So I don't know, Josh, have we gotten to the point where we kind of give our predictions for the game?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've certainly gotten there. I think, do I really have to predict? At this point, it's like, I'm so mad at the Ravens. I almost want to predict a tie at this point, just like the Steelers Lions game. Just to be like, no one wins this game, which was awesome, by the way, last week. Thank you, Lions, for keeping us in first place by half the game, but a lot of road to go cover in the last 2 months of football, last month and a half. But you know what? I say the Ravens get the bounce back. It's going to be a 3-point victory. 24-21 Ravens in Soldier Field.
I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be a tight one. I think it's going to be another edge of your seat game where it's going to be up and down, but I think the Ravens can squeak away with a win, and I'm going to say 27-24.
Okay. So you're going a little bit above my score, but still a 3-point victory. Okay. Okay. I see. We'll see how it shakes out, man. And what I really want to see kind of end things with and close things out is I really want the Ravens there's like three things I want to see. I want to see the big plays to not occur. I want to see the O-line to be better. I mean, I'm not saying like, when I say like the big plays not occur, don't give up any. I mean, that'd be great in a perfect world, but limit them, limit the impact of the big plays. I want the O-line to play significantly better than they have been, maybe giving Lamar some more time in picking up the blitzes and everything else. Nick Boyle out there is going to be helpful if that certainly comes to fruition. It looks like it's trending that way, but we'll see. Don't want to guarantee anything here because nothing's pretty much set in stone at this point yet. I just want the Ravens to really adjust and execute that on that. Is if the Bears are showing a different look, adjust to that. If they're showing you different than what was in film, adjust to it. Ravens need to make adjustments and need to be coached better all around. And Greg Roman really needs to do his job this time and call some better plays for the offense and execute. And that goes to Lamar. Lamar should check out those plays and have that freedom to do so if he's not liking what we're seeing it, if the defense is giving him a different look than what the play's called too, because to me, it's the same vanilla offense. You can't run it. See what happens with the keys of the game there. That's the keys of victory in my point.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with you. I think you're completely right there. And I think those are the keys to victory. If you remember when we did the schedule release, I said the game that scared me the most was this game because you didn't know who the Bears were going to be. Could they be a juggernaut or could they be a team that you could easily push over? And I don't think the Bears decide until that day of who they're going to be that day. So this one scares me. It really does. This really could be a coin flip. And hopefully there isn't more than one coin flip and we're not going to OT or something like that on Sunday. But only time will tell. Hopefully this Dolphins game was just a blip. Hopefully it was just a really bad off day. Torrey Smith, he was talking about on the Purple Playbook this week. He was like, look, Raven fans are spoiled. We all are very spoiled because this has been a great team for a very long time. And we don't know what to do when the team underperforms. That game in Miami against the Dolphins, that was definitely an underperformance. And we expect more
Absolutely.
From them. And hopefully they show up in Chicago. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, all right. All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing anything we find interesting about the Ravens or football in general. Or you can listen to our show right on our Facebook page. So make sure you go over and like our Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. And got to put this behind us. The bad taste still lingers for everybody. I know they're like, man, that was so bad. I'm embarrassed to wear my Ravens gear on Purple Friday. I know fans have been taking extremes, and I get it, right? It just was embarrassing to be associating with that. And what the Ravens needed to do was show us that it just was a blimp on the radar, didn't mean anything, and it wasn't the reflection of their true identity and how they can really perform. And that'll show going forward, right? And we're going to see how it plays out. And what better way to do it than against the Bears? You know, we got to see the game team back on track to give us hope for the remainder of the year. Because, listen, we understand that after the Bears game, not even calling out the Bears as an inferior opponent. I mean, we understand, you know, they're definitely not an opponent that's going places this year. But given the state of the NFL, as we talked about it before, anybody's beatable. I don't think there's any clear-cut winner. NFC, AFC, everybody's had a share of at least like one embarrassing loss or two embarrassing losses or more. There's no dominant team, just put it that way. And the point is the road doesn't get easier for the Ravens. I mean, right after the Bears, they play three straight AFC North opponents, two out of three against the Browns. They have five, and that's three out of the remaining five games against the AFC North opponents. The division is far from settled. Granted, Steelers did help us out against the Lions being tied. We're half a game lead in first place, but still a long way to go. Still got to play the Rams. Still got to play the Packers. It doesn't get any easier, and it's just going to get tougher going on. So with that remaining schedule, Ravens need to get in gear, or they're going to be outside looking in for the first time in Lamar, not going to the playoffs, not enjoying anything this year. And we can sit here and say woulda, coulda, shoulda, because they start off so good at a 6-2 record. So got to get it in gear now. Starts in Chicago. How about it? Ravens flock. Let's travel to Chicago, Windy City, and let's escape with that seventh win, shall we? Let's put it all behind us. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.